I find that I'm increasingly
leaving.
Recently, a lot of people on the political right here in Britain, as against the sensible centre-left, have been calling for a ban on various types of female Muslim headscarves, the hijab, the niqab, the burqa, etc. And this whole idea is becoming mainstreamed as people keep on calling to ban the burqa, quote-unquote. It's been pushed by, among others, Rupert Lowe, who's someone who I have some time for, but increasingly I see a lot of these kind of, if you ask me, kind of slop causes that he gets behind. But he has been one of the big voices for it. Another person is Matt Goodwin, who's particularly keen on this idea. Various other, you know, the usual suspects in the media or in alternative media keep on bringing up why we should ban the burqa and various other religious gear that Islamic women wear in the Muslim community in Britain. And every time this comes up, I always ask the question, well, talk me through the thinking. What are you actually trying to do? And what is your desired end goal? And there are basically two answers that I get to this, okay? The first answer is, well, the burqa shows that they are not integrating into the British way of life. To which, of course, the obvious riposte is, especially if you're coming from the anti-immigration kind of headbanger populist right, as a lot of these people are, why do you want these people to integrate? You're actually trying to make these people fit in better when ostensibly your actual aim is to get them out of the country. So that's an obvious alarm bell that goes off when I see Matt Goodwin and other people like him pushing this idea. Because basically what you're trying to do is make it easier for Muslim women to blend in with the British population, to get them to play by, you know, similar sorts of standards and rules. Now, we can get into a whole debate about that, but the fundamental question is, why is it that you, as someone who wants to normalise re-migration or whatever, why are you pushing that point? That strikes me as the sort of thing that the British regime overall, the British government, who may wish to foster a greater sense of social cohesion between different ethnic groups, different religious groups, you know, which are relations are fraying or they're fractured at the moment. And so what better way to try to mend them by forcing integration? Actually something that Gordon Brown, the New Labour Prime Minister after Tony Blair, was strong on as well. He made people take a British citizenship test. So this sort of thinking from Goodwin and others, you know, is not really that radical. It's a kind of form of civic nationalism, I guess you'd say. And it doesn't really solve any issues. I mean, let's think of an integrated non-hijab wearing or non-burqa wearing person from a Muslim background. What about the current Home Secretary, Mahmood? She doesn't typically wear her headscarf when she's in Parliament or anything like that. Speaks with a, you know, she's very well-spoken, top legal brain. Now she's the Home Secretary. Doesn't get more integrated. And yet, the Goodwins of this world still have a problem with Mahmood. So they're not actually solving any issue. Or why don't we think about Ash Sarkar? Literally a communist, Ash Sarkar. She doesn't wear a headscarf either. I believe she's from a Bangladeshi background. Bangladeshi is a Muslim. That's why the whole country was created, so that Muslims had a place to go from India. So I'm not convinced by the first argument. But then we get the second argument, people who are fancy themselves as being a bit more radical, a bit more grug-tier, perhaps. And they say things like, well, if we do it, we show them that they're not welcome. By banning the burqa, we show them that they're not welcome here, and therefore they'll leave. Okay, that's the kind of second argument that I see, to which the obvious response is, in those places where they've taken these measures before, for example, in France, where they're constantly doing this sort of stuff, whole history of France banning religious headgear, you know, in various different spaces over the past 20 years, has it actually reduced the number of Muslims residing in France? Has it led to a mass exodus of Muslims from France? No. Oh, right. So, we have established that the integration argument doesn't actually result in anything you like, because an integrated version is simply the Home Secretary Mahmood or Ash Sarkar, of which you don't like them anyway. So, that argument doesn't fly, and it doesn't actually reduce immigration, as shown by other examples, like the French example, where these measures have not reduced the Muslim population in the country. So what is the final analysis? This is a symbolic slop topic that is being pushed. It is symbolic. It doesn't actually solve any issues. Symbolic. Slop. Nonsense. And if I was part of any of these committees that sit round in these think tanks, right, I don't know if any thinking goes on, but if I was sitting there with Goodwin, who I've met in real life, by the way, or with Rupert Lowe and his team, several of whom I've been in touch with, I would bring up these sorts of points. Thomas Sowell called it thinking beyond stage one. And I wonder if any of these people actually do think beyond stage one, or whether they are simply trying to stir up clicks online, stir up excitement for the slop stream. Question to be asked. Anyway, just my thoughts on the issue. I mean, there are other things to get into. For example, again, considering where a lot of these people are coming from, the reactionary right, the anti-immigration right, the culturally chauvinist right, you could say, they're coming from that space and they're attacking the Muslim community. Try to think about it from the other way. Why is it that the Muslim community has developed all of these practices? Why? What is the burqa for? What is the hijab for? What is the, you know, why do they carry on these practices? Now, the stock liberal Western response is simply, well, it's they're oppressing women, aren't they? They're oppressing women. But maybe a Muslim might come out and say, well, actually, we're protecting them. We're protecting those women because we see that when you objectify women and allow them and allow and society encourages, okay, women to objectify themselves, to take part in pornography, to watch pornography, many of the vestiges of Western culture are basically pornography, whether it's MTV videos or just TV shows of various kinds, twerking, all the rest of it. All these things are, you know, Western low culture ads pushed by America and increasingly our own media as well. Why would we want to subject our women to that? The Muslim community could rightly come out and say. And what's the response? Because they could also say, well, look, if you have a look at the birth rate, which you're also meant to be really concerned about, birth rate of your women is far lower than the birth rate of our women. now you're going to try to tell us that your way, your porn-brained way of doing it, is better than our way of doing it. Our way of doing it gets us a much better, healthier fertility rate. Your way of doing it, it actually plummets the birth rate and it makes your society degenerate. So from the Muslim community's point of view, I could see them coming up with all sorts of pretty robust arguments against doing this. Okay. All right. So maybe your ultimate aim then is to subject Muslim women to the same sorts of depravities that the rest of society is subjected to. You know, open them up to it too, and maybe that will plummet their birth rate. I doubt that any of these people who have suggested this policy are thinking that far ahead, but maybe that's the best argument you can make for it, you know, from that kind of reactionary right point of view. I don't think they're thinking about any of that stuff. I'm just trying to steel man the best possible argument that they can come up with, which is basically to say, yes, the Muslim community is making a good point, conservative points, good points, but they're not us, so we don't want that. So we want them to suffer the same, something like that. Okay, something like this. I don't know. But to me, on the face of it, this whole debate is just another, you know, Scrump and Evelyn call it the endless conversation. The endless conversation. It's a great topic if you want to do call-in shows on LBC, you know, with Nick, tell it to your straight Ferrari, or on Talk TV with Julia Hartley Brewer, right? They love these sorts of topics. Should the burqa be banned? Oh, well, woo, woo, woo. And again, all it really does is reinforce, you know, bog standard status quo liberal views on quote unquote women's rights. Now, maybe if you're a feminist, for example, as I'm sure Julia Hartley Brewer is, you could have the argument on those lines that you're actually just trying to liberate Muslim women from an oppressive religion. Okay, maybe if you're Julia Hartley Brewer, but all of these other people that I'm talking about, I'm not sure if that's actually what they're trying to do. I don't even know if they know what they're trying to do, but it does make a splash and it makes good fodder for the endless conversation. My view is slop. My view is the whole thing about it is nonsensical. And if your actual aim was to move these people on or get them back to their own homelands or whatever, you wouldn't try to foster greater integration. You would actually highlight the difference. You would foreground the difference, which means they are not integrated, which means that then they can be identified as a group. Okay? To me, it makes the argument a lot easier to say, well, look, those people, they don't speak like you, they don't dress like you, they don't even speak your same language, so they shouldn't be here. We'll move them on. Much easier to make that argument than if, you know, it's a Mahmood who's got the same accent, who's, you know, paid a lot of taxes in and so on. It just makes if they're integrated, it just makes it so much harder. Then you're back to, oh, we're dealing with poor lints. It's much harder to make the case to deport poor lints than it is to someone who can't even speak English and who wears a burqa. Just my value-free analysis, friends. That's my two pennies worth today. Pick up my new book, Applied Elite Theory, and I'll catch you next time.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.